a word of prayer as we look into the scriptures. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for that wonderful privilege of being thy children. When we discovered that we were called, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. When we've discovered we've been privileged with such wonderful privileges. And Lord, we do go through experiences that cause us great concern. But thank you, Lord, that we ever had that wonderful assurance that our God does all things well. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? And we rest on this, our God, because we know that you are working your purpose out. And whenever things seem to be going wrong, we can be assured that you have some wonderful purpose in mind. And so we commit us to thee and ask you to give us that insight into what you're trying to teach us. So, our God, we thank you. Pray that as we read thy word together now, you will open our eyes, open our minds, help us to understand what you're saying to us. For Lord, speaker and hearer alike, we all need to hear thy voice as we spend this time together here this evening, as we pray and we give thee our thanks and we offer our worship in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I have two words on my mind this evening. The first one is resurrection. And the second one is reincarnation. Now you find there a lot of difference in them, but I'll explain a bit later on why I've got those two words in mind. I'd like to read in the Gospel by John and chapter 5, and then go over to the book of the Revelation and chapter 20. John and chapter 5 and verse 25, Jesus is speaking. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And if we go to the book of the Revelation and chapter 20, and verse 11, we read these words. As John was given this tremendous vision, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. God will bless to us that reading from his precious word. I'm saying these two words are on my mind, the thought of the resurrection, which is what I wanted to speak about, but then it reminded me of what I'd been talking about to this man Peter last Saturday. He'd been standing looking at the quiz that we have up for the boys and girls. We have a quiz that the children can take part in, and the children had all gone away by this time, and this man must have been in his 40s, possibly 50, was standing looking at the question. And I thought, well, he stood there for a few minutes and somebody nudged me and said, speak to him. So I went over and I said, what do you think of these sort of things? He said, the trouble is with Christians, you make it all too simple. Well, what I've discovered over the years is that it is simple. The story of salvation is simple. Jesus said, unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And it's being clever that causes us so many problems. Now this man tells me that he said, I dare call myself a Christian, but Christians never agree with me. He said, I can't join any fellowship because they would not accept me. And I asked him why. And he said, well, I just don't think, or I think that the way you look at things are too soon. And people won't discuss things at any serious depth. I said, well, I don't know if I can discuss things at depth, but I do know what I believe, I know where I'm coming from, I know what's happened in my life, and I know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and I know him as my Saviour. He said, well, I've had an experience of conversion too. I said, well, that's good. I said, what is your background? He said, well, I studied various religions. Now that immediately made me very afraid. He said, and for 6 years I studied Buddhism. He said, so what do you know about Buddhism? I said, not a lot. I don't know that much about Buddhism. I gather that the idea of being a Buddhist is that you live a life, and if you've not done too good, or you've done badly, you come back to life in what they call reincarnation, and if you were a human being, you probably come back as a cow or a pig or something like that, and have a chance to live a better life, and if you live better, you become a higher species of animal, and eventually you reach what they call karma, I think it is. And he said, well, that's something of it. He said, well, I studied under Guru for 6 years. And he said, I could see so much in what they were saying about reincarnation. I said, well, straight away I've got to disagree with you there. I said, because reincarnation is certainly not taught in the scripture. The Lord Jesus said that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. So there isn't coming back and living again in that way to become a better being, to get your soul right with God. He said, well, I did have a conversion experience. He said, but nobody else will really talk to me along these things. Well, I suppose I spoke to him for 20 minutes or perhaps even half an hour, and we agreed to part, but he didn't take anything with him. But he's a man I've been praying for, because here's a man who says he's heard Jesus, or the Lord Jesus. He believes he has spoken with him, and that Jesus has worked a work of salvation, and yet he still thinks of reincarnation. Now, I just cannot get round that. I do not know how you can possibly bring these things together. And as I was thinking of coming here this evening, and I say my thoughts were on resurrection, and this man's thoughts of reincarnation. One, he said to me that Christianity is too simple. Well, my answer to that is you need to be simple. A child can understand this. Jesus made it very plain. Except we become as little children, we cannot enter, or we cannot see the kingdom of God. But then he said the other thing that I find so difficult is that Christianity is so unfair. He said, if a man lives a good life and trusts Christ, well, he goes to heaven, which is fine. He said, if a wicked man or a man lives a wicked life and at the last moment confesses the Lord as his Saviour, he too goes to heaven. But then there might be another man who's lived a good life, as we would call it, and dies without trusting Christ. He goes to hell. And I said, well, yes, that's exactly what the Bible teaches. It's so simple. Why do you want to make it complicated? He said, well, it can't be fair. It can't be right that a man like Hitler or one of these other despots should go to heaven if they had chosen to, or trusted Christ at the end, after the wicked things that they had done, and another person who had lived a good life isn't in heaven. I said, well, that's not my ability to answer. I don't know the answer. It's not for me to judge what God does over these issues. What I've got to decide, and you've got to decide, and this applies to all of us, is what our relationship is with God, what we've done about the things that are wrong in our life. And that brings us to this tremendous picture, or the tremendous episode of the resurrection. As the Lord was speaking here in the Gospel by John, I'm so convinced that the idea of the bodily resurrection of the dead is purely a Christian teaching. No other religion teaches it at all. As I say, Buddhism apparently talks about resurrection into reincarnation, but it's not the resurrection that we're reading about in the scripture. We have to be very clear that the Christian message, the Christian ethic, is that there is going to be a great resurrection, and that every one of us will come back in fullness of time, in God's wonderful purpose. And it's not for me to be able to judge whether how it all works out. I take God at his word, and I read this book, and it tells me something very, very plainly. I believe, as I say, in other religions, such as Buddhism in particular, there is a thought of a spiritual life after death. I gather in Islam, if you do some tremendous deed, you go straight to paradise and all sorts of wonderful things happen, although you might have done some very evil things to reach that particular point. Martyrdom is something that they would encourage, but the Christian doesn't think in terms of martyrdom. We think of presenting our bodies a living sacrifice to God. It's our reasonable service. It's this living for Christ that counts. Not, he doesn't want us to die in that sense. Yes, when we do, we go to be with him, and that's fine. But looking at this thought, not the thought of different religions, but the thought that there is a bodily resurrection of all those, all the dead people who've ever lived will be brought back to life in the fullness of time. But it's only as we come into this teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have this wonderful picture of a resurrection. I don't know, it thrills my soul to know that whatever happens to this body of mine, it's going to be brought back together with my soul, and I shall be with Christ forever. Now, I find that the most exciting, the most glorious prospect that could ever be put before me. Despite what happens in this life, that is a wonderful assurance that every Christian can have. It's restricted purely to Christians, to the Christian religion, to the faith in Christ. And in many instances, in many thoughts, this is the principal cornerstone of Christianity. The assurance of resurrection. The assurance that this body, or the life we live here, is only part of God's wonderful plan and purpose for us. Now, if you ask me to explain or to tell you how God's worked it out, why he chose me and not somebody else, why we find ourselves in these positions, why I can try to live right and find I don't, but I'm still assured, because of what Christ has done, that my sin has all been dealt with, past, present, and presumably future, if I've got any future. We don't know why God has done this, and I don't really want to find out how God has worked it out. I'm just so happy, so pleased that I can put my faith right there and know the joy of his salvation. We actually go into the words we read here in John chapter 5, where he says, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear it shall live." Isn't that wonderful? Now, what does it mean? What I believe it means, and you can tell me I've got it wrong afterwards, I don't mind talking about these things, but I'm convinced that it means that those who are dead, that's those who are in sin, hear the voice of the Son of Man, and we get life because we believe. Now, that happened in my case when I was between 17 and 18 years of age. About nearly 60 years ago now. It doesn't matter how long ago it was. But I do know that then I heard the voice of the Son of Man, and I was given life. And that life is mine for all eternity. I was dead because of sin. That was inherent. I was born in that way. I went on not only as being born a sinner, I became a sinner because I chose to sin. It's my choice. And that's where I was at when I asked Jesus to be my Saviour, and I then was given the life that God wants me to have. This eternal life that's freely available to everyone who puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I see this picture of the dead in Christ hearing the voice of the Son of Man and then responding to it. And so we have this ability, a wonderful ability to have life. I've gone from death into life. Now, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to die or if I'm not. I'm reaching the age where I read the obituary in the paper every day, and the only thing I really read is the name, something of what they've done, and then how old they were. And I think, well, Eve was older than me, so. And then I read that someone who's much younger than me. So there's no question of being able to judge when it's going to happen or if it's going to happen. But I do know there's an assurance that there is a day coming when Jesus is going to come again. So whether death hits me in that way or not, I was dead, I'm now alive, because Christ has taken away that which barred me from the blessings that God wanted me to enjoy. But it does tell me here, and we read about this in the latter part of the passages I read in Revelation, we must all stand before the sovereign judgment of God. Why am I going to be there? There's all sorts of theories about when all this is going to happen. I'm not clever enough to work it out. I read what other people think, and then I think, well, I don't know if that's right or not. But I do know that we are going to stand before God. I believe the judgment for the Christian has already taken place. When I ask Christ into my life, I judge my old life, and day by day I need to judge it still. And those things that would bar me from the presence of God are dealt with. So there's not a sense of standing before God in that sense of judgment, but I think it's been dealt with as far as I'm concerned. I've heard the voice of the Son of Man, and I hear it, and I live. The Father has given has life in himself, he has given life to his Son, and he has been given authority to execute judgment on the world. And that is what Christ has done. When he died upon that cross, he dealt with the whole question of sin. And yours and my sin are dealt with if we've heard the voice of the Son of Man and have responded to it. What a wonderful picture this is. Go on singing that hymn. It's very lovely what Cooper wrote, because he was concerned that it's so easy to get above yourself, but don't lose out. Don't think that we're always going through bad times. We can go through good times. There are good things to be enjoyed, even when problems beset us. So, it's a hymn that I find a bit difficult. I find lots of hymns difficult, so don't get too carried away by that. But then you read on later, in which all that are in the graves will hear the all-inclusive word. Every person who has ever lived, who right up until now or until that particular hour, will be brought back to life, whether they were buried in the earth, in the sea, cremated, and whatever has happened to those bodies are going to be resurrected. Now, you might not agree with that. I don't mind if you do or not. That's how I see the scripture. I see that whatever happens to this physical body of mine, whatever happens to it, whatever is done with it, I think of Christians of years ago, thrown to the lions, torn to pieces, burned, all sorts of things happening to them. God knows where every atom of those bodies is, and he is able, and he tells us we're all going to come back. There is a resurrection.